Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 John. We're going to begin today our One Another series. Our One Another series. Brother Colby has mentioned this last week, and we want you to know that there are over 50 One Another statements in the New Testament. We have accept one another, which we'll be looking at next Sunday morning. Bear with one another, care for one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, honor one another, be kind to one another, love one another, just to name a few. Colby and I believe that this series has the potential to change our church. You know, and I don't make that statement very often, but we really believe that. We really believe that if we will begin to relate to one another according to Scripture, if we will begin to relate to one another in a spiritually encouraging, spiritually helpful way, that our church will be a different place. And our church will be different because you will be different and I will be different. Already this week, as I was preparing our study today, as we want to fellowship with one another, I was convicted. I was convicted very deeply about some areas of my life that I will share with you this morning. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to transform me as one of your pastors. And I'm sure Brother Colby would say the same thing. And I hope that you would agree this morning that as we begin to see what the Bible says about how we relate to one another, that we would be honest enough to say, God, start with me. Begin with me. Do the work in my heart first. So we want to relate to one another in a way that is biblical and spiritually helpful. This morning we want to talk about fellowship with one another. And to begin, we want to take 1 John chapter 1. And let me just say, this entire passage is not about just fellowshipping with one another. And there are tremendous spiritual nuggets in this passage. But John speaks to us very clearly here about our fellowship and the basis of our fellowship and how our fellowship impacts our life. So let's look at 1 John 1, beginning in verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all our sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. May God bless the reading of His word. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You, Father, for Your call upon our life as followers of Christ to have fellowship with You and to fellowship with one another. God, we thank You that the basis of our fellowship is the relationship that we have with You through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that relationship impacts all areas of our life. Lord, we pray this morning that Your Holy Spirit would speak to us, Father, in a powerful, life-changing way. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, we've probably all heard about Christian fellowship all of our life. What does that look like? You know, I grew up in a small town in South Alabama, Evergreen, at Evergreen Baptist Church. If you go downtown Evergreen, you can see the church off to the right. If you're going north, it has a unique architecture. It's unbelievable. Looks like a castle. But at Evergreen Baptist Church, where I grew up, we had a place called a fellowship hall. A fellowship hall. And this is where we had fellowship. And so what did fellowship look like? It looked like covered dish lunches we had every now and then. And then once in a while, not often enough, we had things called homemade ice cream fellowships. Ever been there? Can I get an amen? Amen. I remember as a kid thinking, if I ever become a preacher, we're going to have homemade ice cream fellowships every Sunday. Kobe, we've got to work on that, brother. But I loved it. Man, I love homemade vanilla ice cream. What's better than that? But we had fellowship in the fellowship hall. Is that where fellowship takes place? It does, but it's not limited to a fellowship hall. This morning, I want us to think about what is true Christian fellowship and three things that we want to center on this morning. First of all, true Christian fellowship centers on God's word. Centers on God's word. In Acts, we see a close relationship between the ministry of the word and fellowship in the church. Acts 2:42, Luke writes, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So we see here the ingredients of the activities of the early church. It included fellowship, but it included teaching, it included prayer, it included eating. Now, who says they weren't Baptists? I mean, they were eating together in the early church. But we see the relationship between God's word and fellowship. God's word was an important part of their fellowship. The early church focused on doctrine, the apostles' teaching. And let me tell you, so must we. In just a couple of weeks after Bible school and things settle down a little bit, we're going to begin a doctrinal study on Wednesday nights. And we want you to come and hear, because we want you to be taught the word of God, to know what we believe about the basic doctrines of God's word. Doctrine is important because it's been said, and we agree, what you think about God is the most important thing about you. Let me say that again. What you think about God is the most important thing about you. And so we want you to make sure that you have a strong biblical foundation of what the Bible teaches about God. And I want you to know that what the Bible teaches about God impacts how we relate to one another. So Christian fellowship centers around the Word of God. Broken fellowship. Now we know when people have broken fellowship, we have arguments, misunderstandings, disagreements. Let me tell you, broken fellowship often comes from misunderstandings. Not just misunderstandings and usually miscommunication, but not just misunderstandings between one another. But broken fellowship often results from misunderstanding God's word and what God says to us and what God says about us, but more importantly, what God says about himself. So broken fellowship occurs when we must misunderstand, and more often we forget what the word says. How many times have we said we are monumental forgetters? I don't want you to forget that. You know, we just forget what God's word says. We're not walking in the spirit, we're not walking in the word, and we get upset with one another and we have broken fellowship. But God's word should be the basis. We should center our fellowship around God's word. See, God's word keeps us on track. John tells us here in 1 John 1, the word of life, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The message of 1 John is a message about life, and it centers around the message of life in Jesus' name. In other words, God's word, the gospel. The gospel. John says in verse 3, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. The gospel. That's what we've seen. That's what we've heard, what we've experienced. And church, that is the foundation of our fellowship, the truth of the gospel. The gospel is our fellowship. Fellowship simply means, in the Greek, a Greek word koinonia, which means sharing a common experience, sharing a common experience. The way I remember the definition of fellowship is simply two fellows in the same ship. Okay, you can remember that, right? That's fellowship. Two fellows in the same ship. They are sharing a common experience. It's pretty simple, isn't it? But if we're going to have Christian fellowship, what's our common experience? It is the gospel. That we have come to know God the Father through Jesus Christ. See, knowing God through the gospel is the common experience that all believers here at Alberta Baptist Church have shared, and what we share together. We have a common experience of his grace and his mercy in our lives. Verse 3 again, John says that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We share a common knowledge. We know God. And we know God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what brings us together, is who we know, what we believe about the gospel. And because we know God, we want to do what? What's the second thing? Find community. When we know God, we want to find community and then do what? Live on mission. Again, those are three things we got to know. To know God, to find community, and live on mission. And see, the fact that we know God brings us together as a community of believers here. That's what we have in common. That's the ship that we're both in, two fellows in the same ship. We know God. We may not agree upon everything. We may have different likes and dislikes, different opinions, but our common experience is we know God through Jesus Christ, and that brings us together. True Christian fellowship occurs, as he says here in the passage, verse 7, as we walk in the light, as we walk together. If we walk in the light, we, as he is, himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So what does it mean to walk in the light? What do you think? To walk in the light. It means that we walk in the light of God's word, that we walk in the light of Christ. And to do that, we walk in obedience. We walk in obedience. We see this all throughout Scripture. You know, light is God. God is light. In Him, there's no darkness at all. Darkness is sin. That's why those honky-tonks are so dark. You know that? Because they're full of sin. You say, well, how do you know that? That's what the deacons told me. Anyway, there's a darkness and light, okay? But if we walk in the light, we're walking in obedience. We're walking in obedience. We're walking in obedience to God's word. And how do we do that? We do this together. We encourage one another spiritually. We hold each other accountable spiritually. We do this together. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If we walk in obedience to the word, if God's word is the center of our fellowship, there are no misunderstandings. We know exactly what the word says. And so we're able to get along with each other. We walk in obedience as we walk according to his word. And we do this together. I've said this many times and it bears repeating. Everything about your faith is personal, but none of it's private. None of it's private. You will not find one thing in Scripture that calls you to be a private Christian. Everything's personal, but we do it all together. That's why church membership is a big deal here at Alberta Baptist Church. It's a big deal. We believe that baptism guards the front door. In other words, our membership, we're a membership of baptized believers. To be baptized, you profess faith in Christ. You demonstrate a genuine trust in Christ as Savior and Lord in your life. And you follow the Lord in obedience by being baptized as the Scripture commands. Baptism guards the front door. We all have been baptized. I was baptized in Lake Santa Fe in Gainesville, Florida. We all have a baptism experience, how God changed our life. And baptism is simply a picture of what God did on the inside. So we've experienced believer's baptism. I never forget a young guy, Alan, came to me and said, I need to get my baptism on the right side of my salvation. He'd been baptized as a kid, but had never trusted Christ until later on in life. I struggled with that for years. But again, that's what we have in common. We're baptized believers. Baptism guards the front door. The Lord's Supper. We do this every month so that we can examine ourselves like the Scripture says. We examine ourselves to make sure we're right with God and we're right with each other. And so we say the Lord's Supper guards the back door. It keeps people from drifting away and going out. You know, they come in the front door and go out the back door and we never see them again. But the Lord's Supper allows us to examine our hearts at least monthly in a very serious, somber way as we think about all this involved. We'll do in just a minute. But we're members together with that common experience. Church membership is a big deal. We cannot obey the one another commands by ourselves. As we walk in the light together, look at verse 7. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We're a body of believers in Christ who've been forgiven. And so we should relate to one another in forgiveness as well, shouldn't we? but all centers around the Word of God as we walk together in the light. The Word reminds us of the grace of God. He's cleansed us and forgiven us with His blood. As we walk together, we forgive one another. The Scripture says, just as He has forgiven us. The Word of God is the gospel, the good news we have seen and heard. The truth of God's Word is the basis of our fellowship. Now, we can have fellowship. We can get together. We can play games and we can eat and we can hang out and all that's good. And we need that. But to have true Christian fellowship, we're going to be aware of the need that we all have of God's Word, to speak the truth of God's Word into each other's life. It doesn't have to be a Bible study. It doesn't have to be a sermon. I want you to know, I was greatly encouraged just this morning in Zach Pratt's Sunday school class. I mean, as he talked about Jesus having first place in everything, man, I was encouraged. I was encouraged in my walk by the teaching of God's Word. We don't have to have a Sunday school class, but we have to have men and women who are speaking the truth of God's Word into other people's lives, formally and informally, as we get together. You know, some of you say, well, that sounds kind of dry and boring. If it does, it's our fault. Because we need to make it an integral part of our life, as natural as talking about football, as natural as talking about the weather. Hey, let me tell you what God's done in my life. Let me tell you what I read this morning in the Psalms. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit convicted. This is stimulating one another to love and good works, just like the Scripture says. So God's Word, our fellowship should center around God's Word. Remember, it's our common fellowship, our experience of fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ that brings us together, that makes Christian fellowship unique. So here's the question this morning. How do you do that? How do we encourage one another in the Word through our fellowship? How do we do that? I believe it begins by being more conscious and aware of the need for this as we continue to gather together. We don't have to change our program, change our meeting times, change, but just begin to consciously be aware of how we can encourage one another in the Word. Secondly, true Christian fellowship calls for transparency. Notice what John says here, which is typical of human nature. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You mean some people would say one thing and do another? Believe in the church? How about verse 8? If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Hey, church, listen to me. For us to have true Christian fellowship, we have to be honest. We have to have transparency with each other. Jim Phillips, in his book About One Another, says, without a doubt, the chief hindrance to Christian fellowship is the widespread practice of Christians pretending not to have any problems. Whoa. Heard the story recently of a frog. Speaking of frogs, I think I'm surrounded by Ray and Sal. Several animals up here, so this is very appropriate this morning. But this frog believed that he was a handsome prince. And this frog became so lonely, he got concerned about his love life. And he decided to call a psychic hotline to inquire about his future love life. And so he called the psychic hotline, got his own personal advisor, and the advisor told the frog, yes, indeed, you will meet a beautiful young lady soon, and she's going to want to know everything about you inside and out. And the frog asked, wonderful, will I meet her at a party? And the advisor said, no, you're going to meet her in biology lab. Okay, I'm just seeing if you're awake, all right? You got it? Okay. Just making sure you're with me. You're still on board, okay? All right, okay. Seriously, listen to me. It's difficult, risky, costly, if not painful, for some people to share their lives with other people. Now, this is where the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. It is difficult, risky, costly, if not painful, for some people to share their lives with other people. And see, this difficulty many times has more to do with pride and sin than it does personality. Let me say that again. This difficulty to share with one another, to be transparent with one another, to be honest with one another, many times has more to do with pride and sin than it does personality. Boy, this is where the Holy Spirit began to bang on my head. Because see, we all have this image we want to portray. We all have this opinion of ourselves that we want people to have. But are we really being honest? Pride and sin prohibit, they hinder us. And here's what I began to realize. Too often we run from what we need the most. We run from what we need the most. We need transparency. We need honesty in our fellowship. We need to share our pain together. We need to share our problems together. The greatest hindrance is Christians pretending not to have any problems. Too often, when we come to church, we put on our everything's all right mask, and we continue to hurt in silence. We continue to sin in obscurity or darkness and hiding. But we got on our mask. Everything's all right. Let me remind you this morning that we are a body of broken people who have found healing in Jesus Christ. That's who we are. We are a body of broken people who have found healing in Jesus Christ. Our brokenness, Joe Coffey in his book, Red Like Blood, I love this, and I've said this before. Our brokenness provides the cracks that allow God's grace into our life. That divorce, boy, I was broken. That financial crisis, that rebellious child, that physical ailment, our brokenness are the cracks that allow God's grace. I would have never known about God's grace had I not gone through that situation. Paul said the same thing. God's grace is sufficient. Therefore, I'll glory. I'll boast about my weaknesses so that I can glory in the strength that God gives through his grace. Our brokenness provides the cracks that allow God's grace into our life. Brokenness also is the crack that allows God's grace to flow out of our life to other people. We share with each other out of our own brokenness. That's what makes it real, church. That's what makes fellowship genuine, is when we're sharing with each other out of our own brokenness. Church should not be a place where we hide our bad and try to display our good. Can I tell you a secret? Our good does not please God or impress God. Our good does not impress God, and it should not impress us either. Transparency. See, our common need for grace is what brings us together. Our common need for grace. Once we take off our masks and become real with each other, then we begin to minister to one another and truly have fellowship to one another. It's a cruel world out there filled with hurting people. And people are looking for a place where they can love and be loved. I really believe that. People out there are looking for a place where they can love and be loved, where people are genuine. How can we bear one another's burdens, encourage one another, or even pray for one another if we're not honest with one another? James says this, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So here's the question. Are you willing to overcome the difficulty, the cost? The cost, as I was thinking about it, usually is time. It usually costs time to pour your life out and to be involved with other people. And you say, I don't have any more time. But are you willing to overcome the difficulty, the cost, the risk, and even the pain of transparency so that we can experience true fellowship at Alberta Baptist Church? Are you willing to do that? In all honesty, I don't think everybody is. I mean, I'm not trying to sell you short, but I think some people are. And I think our church is going to change because of those who'd be willing to say, you know, this is an area of my life where I really want God to be glorified. I want to exalt Christ in the area of fellowship in my life. As I share my life with other believers, I'm going to make more time for other people at Alberta Baptist Church. I'm going to get up on Sunday morning and come to a Bible study group so I can share God's word and share my life with other people. I'm going to make that a priority this year, this month, next Sunday, so that I can be a part of a small group. I'm going to, on Sunday night, I'm going to join a life group. I'm going to be a part of a group where people do life together. I tell you, we got room for you. So there's much more that can be said about this, but we need to be much more than a group of people who suit up and show up every Sunday. I mean, that kind of gets old, doesn't it? Just suit up and show up. We sit soaking sour every Sunday. Just take it all in. Hey, we need to be fellowship with one another, doing life together. Are we touching each other's lives in deep, significant ways? If not, why not? Why not? We need to be connecting with each other in ways that are real and helpful. Finally, here we go. True Christian fellowship. Here's the good part. Communicates Christ to the world. Christian fellowship is powerful. Christian fellowship is purposeful. There's power and there's real purpose when Christians get together for genuine Christian fellowship. I mean, I didn't get as excited as Zach did about Leviticus last. Is Zach here? Where's Zach? Zach, yeah. He got excited about Leviticus last night, but this really got me. This is neat. I mean, it's so simple. But listen to what the Bible says. John says here, we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. In other words, this is our message. The Bible's message is a message of life. It's a message that's to be shared, not to be kept within these four walls. It's a message that's to be shared with the world. And Jesus says this, that true Christian fellowship is essential in communicating this message of life to the world. True Christian fellowship is essential in communicating the message of life to a dying world. You say, well, where did Jesus say that? John 17:21. John 17:21. Jesus said this. I do not ask. He's praying for his disciples. He said, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. You know, that's us. Isn't that neat? Did you know Jesus prayed for you? He said, I'm not just praying for my disciples, but I'm praying for those who believe through their word. We're here because of the gospel. We're here because of the word of God that's been preserved for us. So we believe in him. So he says that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, have unity, fellowship, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So that the world may believe that you sent me. Too often, people on the outside look at the church and say, I don't want none of that. I don't want any of that. They're just arguing and bickering. I don't want any of that. I'm married. I don't have income teas. I don't need that. I don't need that. I got enough problems like it is. But Jesus said just the opposite, that the world is going to see a church who's one, who's united, who fellowships together, who does life together, who shares life together, who takes off their masks and they're honest with one another, and they're going to say, give me some of that. I want some of that. I want what they've got so that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus says that our fellowship, our unity, confirms the truth of the gospel to the world. The gospel has the power to bring life. True Christian fellowship communicates the power of the gospel. Our unity or our oneness is a picture to the world of the unity of Christ with the Father. I mean, we've had wedding season. Colby, I don't know how many you've done, a sack full of them. I've done several. But isn't it exciting to see a marriage is a picture of the gospel? The way a husband loves a wife, Ephesians 5 says it's a picture of the gospel. Christ is head of the church. The wife is the bride of the groom, like the church. It's a picture. But he says here that our fellowship communicates to the world a unity and a oneness, the unity of Christ with the Father. We are to be We are to be one, even as Jesus and the Father are one, so that the world may believe. True Christian fellowship has purpose and power. But you know what happens many times when we start talking about fellowship? We start looking inward only. We start looking at ourselves. How can we deepen our fellowship? How can we enrich our fellowship and make it better for our membership? We have this us four and no more. You know that prayer. The guy who had a son, God bless me, my wife, my son, his wife, us four no more. You know, a very narrow view of what the church ought to be. For some reason, people have misunderstood Christian fellowship. They've used the desire for true fellowship as an excuse for not reaching out to others. Just the opposite. I was reading a blog this week by Derwin Gray. I just threw that in so you know what I know what a blog is. But he's a former Indianapolis Colt. He was led to Christ by a teammate. And after he joined the church, he said this. This is from a new Christian. Being in a Bible study was more about Christians learning to protect and isolate themselves from this big, bad world and lost people. It appeared that growing in one's faith was more concerned with guarding one's family and self-preservation than in reaching other people. Some of the studies felt like an us four and no more club. Ooh. Would that be said about Alberta Baptist Church? Would that be said about your Sunday school class? Could that be said about your life group? Us four and no more. Self-preservation. Protecting ourselves from that big, bad, lost world. If that's our understanding, we've missed it, church. Let's be careful not to fall into that trap. It should never be us four and no more. So some people see a conflict. Do we have fellowship or do we have outreach? There's no conflict. True fellowship is a powerful outreach. Our fellowship is for a purpose, to encourage one another to walk in the light. Our fellowship is also powerful because light is what? Attractive. Attractive. Other people will see the way we relate to one another, and they'll say, give me some of that. Give me some of that. Our fellowship is powerful because light is attractive. True Christian fellowship will be attractive to those who are looking for love. There's a need out there to love and be loved by somebody. I guarantee you. Let me ask you the question as we close. If a guest observed our fellowship, how we relate to one another, would they see convincing truth of the gospel that Jesus truly was sent by the Father? Would they see convincing truth? Does our fellowship communicate Christ to the world? Kobe shared with me a book called Community. And Brad House says this, community is an instrument of worship, a weapon against sin, and a tool for evangelism, all for the exaltation of Jesus. Let me say that again. Community, fellowship together, finding community, one of our purposes, is an instrument of worship. God's pleased when his people dwell together in unity and oneness. It's worship. It's a weapon against sin. We hold each other accountable and a tool for evangelism. We exalt Christ when we make him known. We make much of him as we fellowship with one another. As we fellowship with one another, making much of Christ, we should have one eye on the world. An eye on the world that needs to love and be loved. True Christian fellowship centers on God's word, calls for transparency, and communicates Christ to the world. Let me ask you this morning, is that what you want? You want some of that? I do. The two barriers, pride and sin. It's funny because sin gets us in trouble and pride keeps us there. But we've got to take off our masks. The greatest hindrance is when we all pretend we have no problems. We all have problems. We all have struggles. And let's be honest enough to share them with those who care. What will you do to make this a reality at Alberta Baptist Church? Let me pray for us. Father, we've heard your word this morning.